Welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring this beautiful country of America, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
We're here in the beautiful resort of Jamaica Beach RV Resort in Galveston, Texas. This is episode 48.
And this week, we're so excited to be joined by our good friends, Jana and Judy, fellow Texans, fellow RVers, part-time RVers who go on extended trips, and they're going to share their journeys with us. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. So yes, we are closely coming to the end of our amazing stay here in Galveston. We come every year, as you know, and we've already made plans to come back next year. And some of the folks that we always look forward to seeing are hosting us today here inside their beautiful RV. Welcome to the podcast, Judy and Jana.
Hi. Thank you.
We're so excited to have y'all here. We've been trying to get them on the podcast for a while now.
Yeah.
And we finally were able to squeeze out some time where everybody was here and not out exploring. And so we're super excited to be sharing y'all's stories today. So I guess, why don't we get started? Well, first of all, I got to tell you, these ladies are amongst the folks we love visiting with every year. We've spent now, let's see, y'all got here about mid-November this year, right? So about 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so this year?
We're at seven now.
Seven weeks.
We'll be here 8 weeks total.
Okay, yeah. But
this is our fifth year.
Yeah, God. That's
crazy.
I can't believe it's already been 5 years.
Time flies. That's when we first met you guys, 5
wow.
years ago.
Wow. Wow. We met through mutual friends who also come every year. Shout out to Ronnie and Carol, who are still parked right down from us.
Exactly.
But so you guys have a house. You're not full-time RVers, but yet you spend, you know, like you said, 8 weeks this year here. First of all, I guess we should back up and ask, how did y'all decide to get into RVing?
Oh, we started out in just a pull behind. It's probably, I forgot, what was it, 2014? Oh, was it in 2014? And we kept that a couple of years, and we decided, hey, we wanted something bigger and something we could carry our animals in all the time and you know, be able to go out and see other places and stuff like that without having to worry about, you know, what are we going to do with the animals?
Right, right. So, yeah. First of all.
Well, wait, let's also say, I guess you're both retired.
Yes,
we are.
Yes.
Okay.
So, congratulations on
that.
Oh,
yeah.
So, okay, before we get into what you travel in now, let's talk about your fur babies. What, y'all have quite a few.
Yeah. We've had quite a few as well.
Yeah. And she's pointing to the wall of pictures behind of all the beautiful babies. So right now, let's tell everybody, what do you guys travel with? Who are your companions?
We travel with two dogs and two cats. We have Bailey, who is a mixed breed Australian cattle dog mix. And we have Lexi, who is a full blood registered Sheltie.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we have two mixed breed cats.
Now, how do they all do traveling? Has it been an adjustment?
They do great. I think they do. I mean, we bought this RV just so that we could be able to keep them back there in their, you know, the
bunk bed
and in their crates and stuff when we're traveling down the road, so it'd be safer for them. And the cats stay in their little crate up here, so They do fine.
And so, they all get along together in the smaller space?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the cats have their room.
Yes, yeah. They say that.
Now, let's tell everybody what y'all do travel in now. Uh-huh. You started with a travel trailer, but now you have a...
We have a 2021 Thor Challenger 37 DS.
Which is a Class A.
Correct. It's Class A gas.
And I guess it's approximately 37 feet or...
I think they said it's 39 total from front to back.
Okay.
You're bigger than us. That's all I know.
Yeah, you are bigger than us. So who drives?
Jana drives. Okay. I can, but she drives. I did take classes and everything, but I drive the Jeep. She drives the RV.
Which is basically how we do it. Tom drives the RV. I drive the Jeep.
Yeah.
And that works out good. Now, you've got slides on both sides or just one?
We have three slides.
Three slides, okay. Because it feels very spacious in here.
It's very spacious right here,
The big wall slide goes from the refrigerator all the way to the back bathroom. This slide goes from the dining room to the right over there at the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bedroom slide.
And what was it about this particular motorhome that got your attention?
It was the bunk beds for the dogs.
Okay.
So that we use the top one for storage, uh-huh, and then put their crates and stuff in the bottom. And when we go somewhere, we, you know, put them in their crates so they don't have to worry about getting into things.
Yeah. So. Okay.
That's okay. Perfect. Let's get real. We bought this thing in 2020 in the height of the pandemic, and it was one of the few on the lot that we could afford.
Well, but it's still the one we picked out.
Yeah.
For that reason.
We didn't have to buy it.
But I do like that idea of having a dedicated space for the crates for the babies to ride in so that they're safe. And then also, now when y'all go out for the day, if they're here, do you leave them in a crate or do they just hang out or how do you do that?
We usually put them in their crate and we have a camera that we put on them and we have the thermometer right there beside their crate so we can watch them if we need to check in on them or anything like that.
The temperatures. That's cool.
Yeah.
And make sure the temperature is great and everything for them.
Sure. Yeah. That's awesome. So you've been, let's see, this year you've been in Galveston for a couple months, but you guys had some pretty extensive travels this year.
We did. We started in July, and I worked the MLB All-Star Game.
So I should say one thing we have in common is that we're big sports fans.
For sure.
Not for the same teams.
Exactly.
We'll Texas teams, but not the same Texas teams.
So I did work the MLB All-Star Game, and then we took off and we went to Eureka Springs and then worked our way up to Petoskey for a week and then around the Upper Peninsula and down through Wisconsin. We got to hit Lambeau Field. We didn't get to take the tour of Lambeau, but we toured ourselves on the outside.
Oh, next time you're up there, you gotta take the tour.
Gotta take that, yes.
Then we worked our way to Nashville and Memphis and back over to Durant and back down to Dallas, and we stayed there for another week and a half.
Okay.
So how long was that?
We were gone for about 2 months almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
We left the first part of July. We left home in Victoria right before Hurricane Beryl came through.
Ooh.
In fact, we left a few days early to avoid any of that.
Okay.
And then we got back home the end of August.
Okay.
And that home is relatively new for you guys, right? Yeah. Y'all moved down there
in May of 23.
Because yes. That's why Jana worked the All-Star Game, because she used to work the baseball games in Dallas, because they used to live up in that area before. Mm-hmm. And you worked hockey, too? Or what all did you... You did security.
I have worked all three of the major venues. I worked the Cowboys, the Rangers, the Mavericks, and Stars.
That's kind of like a dream job as far as I'm
concerned. And concerts.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got the major concerts. We did Cher.
Wow.
We did Celine Dion, Ariana Grande.
Wow.
Billy Joel. Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, when you were doing that, could you get Judy into any of these events?
No.
That was a quick answer from Judy. Nope.
Nope.
Oh, well.
So now, the Rangers blessed us with an employee perk of it was 4 free tickets every month, but they were the nosebleed seats.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes she used them, sometimes she didn't.
Yeah.
But we were season ticket holders for the Stars as well.
Oh, okay. All I know is that while we've been here during hockey season, if the Stars were playing, we knew it.
Yep.
So that was a long trip. Has that been, other than coming to Galveston, has that been y'all's longest RV trip so far? Or have you joined
us? Well, we did one in 21 when we all met up at Gillette.
Yeah. Oh, right.
For the big
That was our first
FMCA
big trip.
Rally. That was the first big one.
Yeah, that's right.
We went up to Colorado and met with you guys and a bunch of other people in Gillette for the big convention or whatever.
FMCA rally. Yeah.
And then we went across to Indiana to have warranty work done. But in the meantime, we hit Custer State Park. And
nice.
We got the badge of driving through Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
That merit badge and been there, done that. Not going to do it again.
I get it. I totally get it.
I killed Judy on a travel day this last time because I said I am not driving through Chicago again.
I almost feel the same about Dallas, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dallas is so tough to drive through.
Yeah, we did that when we left during rush hour.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, isn't it funny, too? It's like we're from Houston. Y'all lived in the Dallas area for a long time. If you're in your home community where you know the roads and you know what exit to take and you don't have to really worry about yet, you know when to start getting over and when to, it's a lot easier. When you get into these big cities that you're not really familiar with, it's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. And
especially
so,
when you're driving a motorhome.
So the point really is stay away from big cities if you can.
Yes.
Yeah. We had terrifying experiences in downtown Indianapolis.
Oh,
that was bad.
What happened?
Well, let's talk about
it. It's just traffic.
Yeah.
Just traffic. And people don't realize that you can't stop these things on a dime.
Right.
Right.
You just can't.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Yeah, you're right. When you're in these areas that you're not familiar with, these cities, and you're surrounded by locals who are commuting or what have you, we try to really avoid any time that would be a major time for commuters.
Yeah, rush hour.
It's not always possible, but we try because they're in a hurry to get to work or they're in a hurry to get home. They know where they're going. They know, oh, there's my exit, you know, and they don't know that if you're there in your rig, you cannot stop.
Well,
like
and the worst kind of traffic with these Class A's is stop and start. Right. Because everybody, the traffic will let up a little bit, and all of a sudden you're going about 40, 50 miles an hour, and it comes to a stop. You know, and you don't have a lot of warning sometimes. Or if that guy swerves right in front of you, yeah, I mean, these things, people got to realize they do not stop easily. And when you cram it, when you're putting your foot through the dash, you know, trying to stop it, it's not a good feeling.
Right.
But we do travel with, our primary planner is the RV Trip Wizard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the route planner.
Okay.
But Judy's the navigator, and she's sitting over there with both phones, one of them on Waze and one of them on Maps.
Yep.
And then a map on the
and then a paper
the,
map.
Yeah, the paper. I love the paper,
paper
map. Heck yeah.
So Waze is the way that we like to go because it tells you what's coming up.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
Yes. And Google has started doing some of that as well. Where they'll tell you if there's an accident or a slowdown or, you know, it's starting to become, because I'll do a lot of that too. We have our RV GPS that we run, but I'll run Google Maps as a backup for traffic, detours, things like that, that we might not know about from the traditional RV GPS. And then I've got the good old Trucker Atlas that is very, very handy. What are some of your favorite places that y'all went to this year?
This year.
Or that you've been to, period.
And when we say this year, this is the last day of
2024.
We liked the Petoskey area.
Yes.
We spent a lot of time there.
Did y'all stay at Hearthside Grove?
We did.
Yes.
It was a wonderful place.
Yes, it is beautiful.
Teacher salaries, I don't think, can afford those kind of prices.
No, I don't think so.
But we got there, and they told us to go over to Harbor Springs.
Oh, yes.
And we went over there, and the little guy at the visitor's booth was selling what was going on there, and there was a big regatta going on.
How perfect.
And they had the big, huge sailboats in there. And he told us, it's all going to take place tomorrow. You need to go up on the hill by the high school. And that's where you can see it all. So we did. We sat there for 4 hours.
Wow.
And all of the racing was on the Petoskey side.
Oh, no.
We could see it happening.
I got nice pictures. So.
Yeah. But we could see it happening.
Yeah.
But it was really far away.
Oh, my God.
So then the next day, when the big ships were going to go, we said, all right, we went to the little park in Petoskey.
Sure.
They sailed on the Harbor Springs.
Oh, no.
So we enjoyed the watching people, and, you know, we could still see what was going on. And I told Judy after, you know, when you watch baseball and football and hockey and basketball and – watching a regatta is like watching paint dry.
Because you don't see a lot of regattas here.
You don't.
No.
You don't. But we took a picnic in the park, and we watched all the people wading in the water looking for Petoskey rocks. And
Did y'all find any?
No.
No.
Yeah, Not in the water.
We found a few.
We found a few when we were there.
Couple years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, but they're tough to find.
Yeah.
And really, if they're not wet, you can't tell that they're Petoskey stones, you know? So.
But then we also enjoyed the Munising area.
Oh, yes. Now, did y'all do any of the boat tours in Munising?
At Painted Rocks or Pictured Rocks?
We did Pictured Rocks, and we also did the shipwreck tours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. It's like this is mirroring. We dropped a video today, and our video is about our 2020. And all this stuff we're
Harbor
talking
Springs,
about right now.
The boat tours
is on this video.
Yeah.
We laughed about your video. Because we said, we've been to all these places.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Lambo. And you know.
Yeah, Lambo. Yeah.
That we recommend. Taking the tour, unfortunately, you didn't see that before, but you may not have had time.
We got in later because we had come down from Munising, and we were staying in a little bitty campground in De Pere, Wisconsin. And by the time we got there and got set up, and that little campground had just flooded like 2 nights before.
Oh, wow.
So we were making sure we were set up correctly.
Right.
And then we drove up to Green Bay just to see Lambo, so we could say we see it.
Right, yes. Exactly.
And we got our pictures taken with the statues and all that kind of stuff. So.
Did you do the Lambo leap in the statue?
No, I saw that picture and I was going like, where was that? We missed that one.
Yeah, we ended up walking almost all the way around the stadium while we were there, you know, just seeing different things. And we kept finding these little nooks and crannies, you know. It was an amazing place.
It was.
Amazing. So y'all tow a Jeep Wrangler.
Correct. We did.
Was there a specific reason why you chose that as your tow vehicle, or did you already have it?
No, we bought it after we bought this.
Oh, okay.
Both vehicles that we had were non-towable. So.
Okay.
We said, well, I'll get rid of my car, and you can keep your truck, and we got a Jeep.
Yeah. And how's that working out for you?
I love my Jeep.
Well, how tough is it for you guys to connect it up and go and disconnect when you get back?
It takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah, so it's easy.
She pulls it up. No less than 10 minutes at the most.
And she pulls it up, and everything, all the connections are already there. All it is putting in the cotter pins.
And that's one thing that I think people are afraid of. You know, if you've never done it before, you think, okay, I'm going to be driving this motor home. I want to tow a car. You think maybe the easiest thing is just to put the car on a trailer or a dolly. And then, you know, but to me, that's a lot more difficult. Because you have to be able to move that dolly or that
once
trailer.
You get to your location.
Right.
Yeah. And where do you store it when you get there?
Right. Right.
And it takes a lot more time. I mean, we tell people, especially if you're going full-time, even part-time like you guys, if you can tow four down.
Yes.
Taking a trailer to me is you're not going to continue to do this lifestyle very long if you have to deal with a trailer. And there's too many things that can go wrong, I think, with a trailer setup. If you don't get it pinned in there perfectly and everything else, and the amount of time it takes every time to unhook it and hook it back up and all that, I just think it's just too much wasted time.
Right.
And energy, you know. Y'all are proof positive that it's not overly difficult to do. No. I mean, Judy and Jenna, y'all are in your
70. She's 65.
65, so, and y'all hook it up like it's nothing and unhook it. And I just think it's a mistake people make when they don't want to do four down. They realize this lifestyle is so much easier if you get a four down car or Jeep. And, of course, all Jeeps are towable four down if you do it the right way. So we strongly recommend to people, it is the way to go. I don't think there's any second place, really. It's if you want to tow a car, get one that you can tow four down and do it. You're going to enjoy your journey a lot more.
And I think it all comes back down to when we first started, we had the RV at a storage place in Waxahachie. We pulled it out of the storage place. We hooked up the Jeep. We unhooked the Jeep. We hooked up the Jeep, we unhooked the Jeep, and we did it multiple times. And we're not perfect. We still mess up sometimes, but it was just getting used to it in the very beginning, and then now you're not scared of it.
Right. Now it's in your brain, and you do it often enough that it keeps, you know, when we're somewhere for a period of time, I take extra time that first time I'm hooking it back up, you know, to make sure, okay, let me make sure I haven't forgotten something, you know, in that 2 months or what have you, that we've been here this time.
Right. Well, and a lot of people don't realize, they ask us all the time. We get comments all the time. Well, what do you need to do to make the Jeep towable four down? Do you put it in neutral or blah, blah, blah? And we tell people, hey, every vehicle is different.
Yes.
We do not want to give anybody advice on how to do it.
Nope.
Because you need to go by the manufacturer and you need to do it that way. You can't just think that this, and all Jeeps are different too.
Exactly.
So, and every Jeep we've gotten have been different.
Yep.
So, yes, the main thing is when you do it, you got to learn how that particular vehicle, whether you put it in neutral, whether you put it in four-wheel drive neutral, and
whatever works for
whatever
that.
Works, that's how you have to do it. Don't ask people how they do it and think that the vehicle you have
is the
the same. Yeah.
Right. They might look the same, but that doesn't mean that they are.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, you said you're about 39 feet long on the motorhome. How tall are you?
13, 2, 3,
something
like that.
So has there been anywhere that you wanted to go that you couldn't because you were too big?
Not
or
so
too
far.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. But it usually says on the trip wizard, doesn't it?
It does. It'll let you know. The only problems that we've had is when we came back from Jamaica Beach last year or in January of this year. Going into our subdivision.
Oh, wow.
That was a problem.
It used to be an oak tree farm.
Oh.
So there's a lot of oak
it's
trees.
It's beautiful.
And there was a big, huge branch that went over the entryway.
It was a limb. It wasn't a branch.
No, it was half of a tree. And I had gone under it several times. No problem.
Yeah.
We didn't know they resurfaced the road while we were
lifted it up about four inches.
And it took off one of the shrouds of one air conditioner and the whole air conditioner of the other one.
And you're thinking, wait, what just happened? We've driven this road a bunch of times.
Exactly.
The tree really grew fast.
You know, that mistake's been made by a lot of us. I mean, even in a campground, we had a time where I was backing up the rig, and Stacy's behind me. She's telling me, come back, come back, come back. And
Lake Somerville.
And all of a sudden, I hear a big boom. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? Well, it was a branch of a tree hanging over the site. She didn't look up. She was looking around, and it hit the shroud of our AC. And
if you're not familiar with these big oak trees,
they're big
branches.
And they don't give.
Can be way out from where the tree is. Yeah, so exactly. You're looking at where the tree is, and you're thinking, I'm good.
Well, our neighbor actually called the county commissioner and voiced a concern because all of the trash trucks, the big delivery trucks, all of that kind of stuff, were having to drive into the dirt to get around this branch.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were as well after that. And the county actually came and cut it down, and not even at the base of the tree on out, it was over 2 feet in diameter.
Wow, just that limb.
Just that one
limb. That is amazing. That's crazy.
Well, so since I got a question. I mean, since y'all have been traveling, do y'all feel safe when you're out there RVing and traveling around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've not encountered anything that made us feel unsafe. If we had questions, there's always people to ask.
Yep.
Self-protection, be aware of your surroundings.
Sure.
I think we all have kind of an advantage over some folks in that we grew up, we were in big cities for a long time. And when you live in a big city for quite a while, you have to be aware of your surroundings at all times. And so then when we go RVing, that instinct's already in us. And unlike folks that may be from the country or whatever, and then they start RVing a bunch, it could be a little different experience because they're not used to things around them.
And for us, we always kind of live by, if we pull in somewhere and we don't feel comfortable for whatever reason, we have wheels. We can leave. It hasn't really happened.
It has happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely it's happened. We told the story before, but we pulled into a Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
We had Stacy's mom with us.
Gosh, that was a long time ago.
And I looked in the camera, so I have a backup camera that shows in the back. And it's a bus full of convicts.
Oh, boy.
But they're hanging out. They're not in the bus. They're all hanging out.
The guards were inside eating.
Oh,
lovely.
Oh, yeah. And they're just checking out my rig, And I'm like, I think we're going to go somewhere else.
Wow.
Yep. Well, now we did get into the south part of Houston.
Yes.
We were following Ron and Carol, and when they had motor issues, and I was following Ronnie wherever he went, I went, and when he exited, I exited. And it was not a nice section of town that we really felt comfortable in. So while I walked back to help Ron and Carol with whatever I thought maybe I could help them with, Judy sat in the coach watching everything.
And we knew, of course, we were in communication with you guys at that time, and we know Houston, and we knew you were in that area, and we were thinking, ooh, that's not the best. but we know Ronnie being an ex-officer. I thought, well, if you're going to be with somebody who's going to be in that area of town, I'd like it to be someone like Ronnie.
Exactly.
Okay, we're from Texas.
Yeah,
right.
Good point.
Girls are taught how to take care of themselves in Texas.
You're
and that's
right.
all I'm going to say about that.
That's very true. Very true. Amen, sister. So, okay, so we talked a little bit about Harbor Springs and everything. Have there been other places that y'all went because you were RVing that you really just loved that you may not have visited if it wasn't for the RV?
Custer State Park.
Yeah, that's my favorite, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think if there's any place that we would go back to, it would be Custer State Park.
Yeah.
I agree.
We were able to take the tops off the Jeep and everything and go through, see the buffalo.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Wonderful.
Did you have the donkeys stick their heads in your window?
Oh, Jana got out.
I got out and petted them.
So.
Yeah, but we love that whole area.
We were standing up in the seat of the Jeep taking pictures and of the buffalo, and it was really cool.
Well, y'all are going to have to go during the roundup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what we did. It is such a different time. And if you stay in that campground that we said in the video, what was the campground?
We were actually, well, anywhere in Custer State Park.
Yeah, but
we were at Game Lodge
Campground.
I had to stop and
think. It's right across from the
Visitor Center.
But they also had a huge arts and crafts fair that same week.
Yeah.
That was literally in the parking lot right next to it, so you could just walk to it. It was great. They even had hot air balloons there one night. And
we were right at the entrance to Wildlife Loop Road. So it was really easy to get out there. But we had the bighorn sheep coming by us.
Oh, wow.
All nonstop. The time. It was amazing. I love those. At first, I'm like, oh, my gosh, bighorn sheep, blah, blah, blah. And after about, because we were there for 2 full weeks so that we could get our spot inside for Buffalo Roundup. And by about day 8, I'm like, oh, okay, bighorn sheep. Yeah. Like, doesn't everybody see bighorn sheep every day?
Well, for us, I mean, traveling the country for so long, and Texas has a lot of great state parks, but I truly believe Custer State Park is the best state park in the country. I
mean, yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And they keep it immaculate, too. I mean, the bathrooms there, we saw them sometimes cleaning them twice a day. I mean, they were spotless.
So when y'all travel, what types of, like, what does a travel day look like for y'all? Do you have a certain amount of miles you like to go or hours you like to drive?
Jana does all the mapping out everything.
Depends on where we're going. If we're going to be to avoid Chicago, that was an 8-hour drive day.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because we went from...
No wonder Judy was after you on that one. Yeah.
We went from Wisconsin, well south of Chicago into Normal, Illinois.
Okay.
So that was like an 8-hour drive and never again.
Not so normal.
No. But, I mean, we tried it no more than 5.
Okay.
We like that idea of 3.
Yes. Because you're trying to get to specific places, I guess. Is that how you start out? You kind of think of where you want to go on this trip, and then you fill in the holes from there, or?
Well, in this particular trip that we took in 2024, we knew that we were leaving Dallas on whatever day it was that we left, and we had to be in Petoskey by a certain day.
Okay.
So we divided it up that way.
I gotcha. Okay.
And then we took our time coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's good now, and something that took us a while when we were full-timers to get used to, y'all are retired now. Time is what you have, you know, so don't rush. No sense. Leave a few days earlier, you know. If your trip has to go 3 months instead of, you know, 2 months and a half, 2.5 months, that's better, you know.
Yeah. We were kind of worried about because some people have told us, you know, well, if you don't call ahead, you know, like a year before, you may not get a reservation at the park or whatever.
At Custer State Park, you know? That is definitely the case.
So. But, you know, I think, like, during the COVID and the post-COVID years, I'll call them, I think that definitely became an issue. Mm-hmm. More people were traveling. It got a lot more difficult from that point than it was before to just roll up somewhere and find a spot.
Right.
This year, we might see that changing a little bit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the places we went in 24, we were surprised that a lot of times there was availability that we weren't expecting to see. So you might be able to fly by the seat of your pants a little bit more in the future. I don't know that I want to, because if you get there and you don't have a spot,
yeah,
then what do you do?
You're going to be on the road.
Right.
Then what do you do?
Right.
I like to know
yeah.
that I've got somewhere that I'm going.
Yeah.
Well, have y'all ever done a Walmart parking lot or anything like that?
No.
No.
Well, just to pull in when there was bad weather or something like that, we've done that.
Yeah, sure. Good.
You know, for a couple of hours or whatever. So
yeah,
we were. I don't know where we were, but
it
the
was
weather.
In Oklahoma.
You could see the weather rolling in, and we weren't the only ones that got off. But we did do the nice thing, and we went in and bought whatever we were going to eat for lunch at Walmart.
Right.
Came back out to the coach and ate it. Took a nap, and off we went.
There you go. Okay. What's been your biggest challenge that you've faced so far as you've been traveling?
Gas stations.
Oh,
now,
God.
Okay, this is yes, because you do have a gas Class A motorhome that's
right.
rather large. So how does that work?
It's a nightmare.
We try to find Costco. Costco or Bucky's.
Okay, all right.
Big stations.
Yes, we try the big stations. There was one place, I don't know where it was, but it was a Love's, and we even called ahead to see, can you accommodate this? Sure, no problem. You can get in, maybe.
Oh,
you can't get to the pumps.
Oh, no.
We had to disconnect the Jeep to get out.
Mm.
And then luckily it had like a McDonald's or a Wendy's or something drive-through. We actually backed the RV into their drive-through to get it out.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And Judy was in the Jeep, and there was this guy coming in with this big old huge bumper pull travel trailer, and she said, don't even try it.
I said, back up while you can.
And we actually got it out of that parking lot and went across the street to a shopping mall and reconnected.
Wow.
But
because I think that's something a lot of people don't think about. You know, for us, we're a diesel, so we stick to truck stops. We only go through the trucking lanes. That's our only option.
But we know
really.
We fit. There's no question is, are we going to fit?
Yeah, right.
We've been to some truck stops that maybe weren't so nice
before,
but we know if it's a truck stop, we can fit. We don't have to worry about those tight turns, getting past cars that are parked, things that you would have to look at going to a gas pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. There's been a couple that we got in and we got gas just fine, but getting out.
Wow.
Was a pain because of the way people had parked.
Sure.
And there was one, we pulled forward to start the turn to get out, and this lady was there, and she came out, and she told Judy, I don't think she can turn to the left. And she says, she's not trying to turn to the left. She's waiting on you to move so she can turn to the right. And then some jerk pulled right in. I was in the middle of the turn, and he pulled right in front of me.
Oh,
no.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, you have nice people, too. They'll say, give me a minute, and I'll move my car.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So. Now, some of the Loves or the TAs or maybe or some of the bigger fuel stops have started putting in RV lanes.
They do have ran into a couple. Yeah,
is it
Pilot or Flying J? Yeah.
So does that help? Does it make it easier?
Oh, it definitely does.
Oh, definitely.
Doug, is there a way to tell before you get there that they have that?
I usually get on the phone and call ahead or whatever. And try to look at the satellite view too. Sometimes on your phone you can look at the satellite view and see, you know, the ins and outs and
That's a great tip.
Great tip.
Yeah. That's one of the big things that Ronnie's taught us since we got back is he said use the satellite views and see how you can get in and get out.
Okay. And, you know, you can use satellite views, too. Like on Google Maps, there's a way that you can measure things. I learned that this year.
Oh, wow.
So I have to show you that once we finish.
That'd be great.
Because someone taught me that this year, and it's so helpful, too, if you're looking at a campground and you're looking at different sites and you're not sure that it's going to be good for you, you can do a measurement on Google Maps and see exactly what the, you know, specifications are on that site.
Great.
Now, it doesn't tell you pitch.
Yeah, and you can't tell from
but
that view.
It can tell you, you know, length and width and all that. So I'll show that to you when we get done here. But so 2025, y'all have anything planned?
I don't know that we're going to take any long trips this year. We have our own little FMCA local chapter that we hit 5 rallies a year. So we do that 5 weeks out of the year. But like you said, we just bought a house. So there's some things that we need to take care of.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. We have wonderful neighbors that watch out for the house while we're gone. And
that's good.
He's going to help us do some landscaping because it's all sand and it washes away.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do some landscaping and stuff like that.
Well, and you're coming back here later.
Oh, yes.
We will
yes,
be in November. We wouldn't miss that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're glad. It's really special. We got such a group of folks here that have been coming here for so many years that it makes game nights a lot more fun. And like tonight, we're going to try. This is New Year's Eve, so... who knows how that's going to go. But
I have the popcorn.
Yeah. Yes, you do. And I thank God for that.
And just so you know, if you're in the Galveston area or maybe you have one of these near you, what's the store called?
Gordon's.
Gordon's.
Restaurant Supply.
And you should. They have bags of popcorn as tall as any of us, basically.
Yeah, and it's fresh. It is. It's fresh. And it's very good.
And I even tasted of the bag to make sure it was still fresh for tonight.
Yeah, all right. Excellent.
Jenna and Judy have been supplying the popcorn like crack this
yeah,
time around.
Pretty much.
Their whole Jeep, I think, smells like popcorn. Yep.
That's because the bag's in here.
Well, guys.
No, actually, it's because we didn't want to have to figure out something to bring.
Ah, well, that's smart.
That's
hey.
A good thing, too.
I wish we'd thought of that.
Yeah.
We really appreciate y'all sitting down and sharing your
yes,
experiences.
Sure.
And
it's been fun.
It's always a fun time when we get to spend a few weeks with y'all every year. And we have seen each other in Wyoming and Texas and maybe more places in the future.
Oh,
that would be great.
Jan and Judy are both part of our posse as
yes,
well.
Yes, they are. Thank you so much.
We're looking forward to that so that we can try to make plans to, hey, people are going to be here or here.
Meet up with other folks in the posse.
Yeah, they were amongst the early folks who came in and helped us kind of debug a few things and test some things out. And we really appreciate y'all. And I hope it's going to turn into, it's already, I think, a fun community of really friendly people. But I hope it's going to just continue to grow that way so that when you roll into a place, you're going to cross paths with people that you already know.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Yeah, so thank you.
Sounds great.
Thank you for being posse members.
Yes.
So check the show notes, and I'll put that in the show notes, and that's another shameless way to get you over to our website, rvamericayall.com.
Yep.
But, yeah, we're building a very cool, friendly, awesome community of people. We had a bowling outing.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes, and
and dinner out.
Yes, dinner. And dinner out
great.
At Hooli Hooli Hut.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to do more of that in the future. So if you'd like to check it out, I'll put the link in the show notes, and we'd love to have you join us over there. And until next time, y'all, thanks so much for joining us. Safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.